hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish? Yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil, into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labour under the sun. For a person may labour with wisdom, knowledge and skill, and then they must leave all they own to another who has not toiled for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labour under the sun? All their days, their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless. A person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleased God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind.
Hey again. This time, I'm going to talk about the colouring in. So if you haven't already started, there's already a bunch started, and that's great. There's some more at the front. If the ones in the middle are all gone, but feel free, kids, big kids, whoever, if you like to colour, scribble, go for it. I hope to see some fantastic reimagined convention logos after the service, so please feel free to come and show me. Might be better than the real deal. All right, so as I said already, my name's Ryan, and I suspect you might be thinking, what a weird Bible text to use for the first Sunday of 2025. Seems kind of hopeless, doesn't it? This guy from Ecclesiastes really seems to hate his job. What sort of New Year message could possibly come from this? Well, as always with the Bible, there is a lot to glean from it. This morning, the first Sunday of 2025, we're going to consider what work is all about. Now, work, it's a broad term, which is great, because there is an awful lot of different types of work represented here in this building this morning. From builders to homemakers, from home builders to homemakers, from office workers to tradies, students to retired folks, parents, single, or both. Paid, voluntary, working for a boss, maybe you are the boss, whatever, whoever, we all have work to do in our lives, right? Work takes up a substantial amount of time in our lives. Google tells me that the average Aussie will spend about 90,000 hours in their paid work in their lifetime. Now, I actually did the numbers. It doesn't sound that much, but you have to remember, this is the average. Some spend considerably more than this, some considerably less. But either way, it is a massive chunk of your life. So as work is such a significant chunk of our lives, and will be for 2025, it's worth looking at today. This first Sunday of the year. Now, for those of you who are sitting back thinking, ha, well, what's that got to do with me? I'm retired. Well, if that's you, good on you. But it doesn't exclude you from today's teaching. You may not work for pay anymore, but you do have time that you spend working. Might be helping your kids or grandkids, might be gardening, might be grandparenting, whatever. Whatever it is you do, when you are retired, you still work. Just looks a little bit different. So wherever you are with work, I trust that this morning will be useful for you and that God will reveal a little bit more of himself and his plan to each of us as we explore this Bible passage today. A question I'm going to keep coming back to today is this: what is work going to look like for you in 2025? Is there uncertainty? Perhaps job security for you is very low. Maybe you're locked into a contract for the whole year and it's already fully booked up. You might have more work than you know what to do with. Maybe you're currently unemployed. Maybe you just lost your job. Maybe you are yet to find one. What about those who are retired? What does work look like in this stage of life? Maybe you're a student. Your work looks different to others, doesn't it? I'm going to ask it again. What is work going to look like for you in 2025. This morning, I trust God and his word to us will cause us all, wherever we are in life, retired, working, student, parent, whatever, this morning I trust that as we reflect on this question, what is work going to look like for you in 2025, that God will speak to us. But to do, before we launch in, let me pause just for a minute and pray. We want to hear from him today, not me. So let's ask him to speak and ask him to help us hear. Let's pray together. God, thanks for today. Thanks for 2024, and thanks that we can stare down the barrel of 2025. Lord, for most of us, working, whether paid, voluntary, or whatever, took up a large part of our time last year. And it probably will this year too. May we consider well this morning what it means to work this year. Please speak to us this morning through your word, through me even. Please help us to understand and apply what you want us to. God, we want to give you our full attention now. Please help us to focus, to listen and pay attention to what it is you are doing and saying today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I think today's text says it about as clear as it can be. Today's text is pretty clear on how working and all that can be gained by working, and it all amounts to nothing when we die, right? It is simply handed over to someone else. At best, it's handed to someone who is wise and appreciates it. They appreciate what's given them, but probably more likely than not, let's be honest, it's handed to someone who is a fool and unappreciative. So look at verse 18 and 19 with me again. If you have your Bibles open, keep it there. Verse 18 and 19 of Ecclesiastes. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish. Yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil, into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. What do we do with this pessimistic, hopeless outlook on work? I think it's helpful to look at the tone of the text. I, me, my, splattered throughout all of it, through that little piece we just read. It's all about the writer's toil, the writer's effort, the writer's fruit of the toil, the writer's skill. It's all about them. What they have done, what they have achieved, what they have gained. The writer is toiling, putting immense effort in, applying all their skills for himself, for his own gain, for his own satisfaction. And look where it gets them. It's the classic Ecclesiastes line of, this too is meaningless. Now, it's not just the wealthy or the ambitious out there who fall for this. Right here, right now, there are people, I am one of them, who at least from time to time vainly chase after satisfaction, meaning, and even my identity in what I do with my time. I fall for it, and I'm sure you do too, at least from time to time. Perhaps there's parents in our pews striving to give their kids every opportunity, believing that their sacrifices will lead to fulfillment as parents and the best life possible for their kids. Some of us, not me thankfully, are students striving for the best grades, busting your behind, studying every available second for that EA on your exam, hoping that by doing so, maybe your parents will love you and appreciate you, or maybe your teachers, or maybe your mates, or that future employer will value that, or maybe the university that you hope to get into will accept you. And then there are workers who stop at nothing, chasing that promotion, thinking the next step up will bring contentment. That little bit of extra pay, sure, it would help, we think, and that recognition from my workmates or boss for the job that I do so well, you know? In fact, I do it better than anyone else. Then, when I get recognised for that, then I'll be appreciated and valued at work. And we have retirees who've done all the right things, have saved, have planned, and they've achieved comfort, thinking things like, I've earned this. I worked so hard for decades. I deserve this time in my life to do whatever I want. I worked for the boss all these years. Now I want to work for me. I want to do what I want, when I want. Yet all the while, still wrestling with quiet emptiness. The writer of Ecclesiastes understood all of this. He worked harder, achieved more, and indulged in every pleasure. Yet his conclusion was sobering. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. If we're honest enough with ourselves, we too will come up with the same conclusion. Running around tirelessly, taking kids to every extracurricular activity, thinking it's how you be a good parent, and that's how you give your kids the best experience and chance in life. When it boils down to it, it's meaningless. In 100 years, it's not really going to matter all that much, is it? What about studying like a madman, all to gain recognition and love from your parents or teachers or mates, or to get into that course at uni or that job? In 100 years, it's really unlikely that it will matter a great deal. Or maybe working your guts out to get that bigger pay each fortnight, or to simply feel valued as an employee or a human being. Again, when it boils down to it, it's meaningless. In 100 years or so, it's not going to matter much, is it? And then the retired among us. Whatever you choose to do with your time, if it's gardening, drinking coffee, going for walks, holidays, whatever, if it's done for your own sense of identity, satisfaction or enjoyment, at the end of the day, it too is meaningless. To be very, very clear though, I'm not against parenting, study, hard work and holidays. Not at all. Parents, you might have heard me say, parenting your kids and giving them opportunities is pointless. Don't even bother. Or students, you might have heard me say, and you're probably cheering inside, it doesn't matter what you do at school. Grades don't count. It's all meaningless. And workers, you might have heard me say that working hard is a waste of time. And retirement folks might be a little offended and might have heard me say you're all self-indulgent, lazy and all about your own pleasure. That's not what I'm trying to get across, nor is it what this text is doing. It comes down to the attitude and the reason why you do what you do. Remember the attitude in the first few verses of today's text? I, me, my. The meaninglessness comes from this. If all we do is to serve ourselves, our egos, even if all we do is to serve just our family or our friends, if all we do is for any or all of this, at the end of the day, when it really boils down to it, it's meaningless. In 100 years, in a few generations, it will amount to nothing. Do you doubt me? Ask yourself this question. What was the name of your great-grandmother? Anyone know? Most people don't. Some do, most people don't. Most people, myself very much included, I have a hard time thinking of my own grandfather's name. Oof. I was very young when he died, so that helps, I think. But anyway, most people, myself included, have no idea. And that's just their name. What about all that they did? What about all that they did for work? What about what they did for fun and relaxation? It's very likely we don't know any of this. And if we don't know any of this, there's basically no chance that we feel any of the lasting effects of any of it. That's, again, not to be offensive, that's not to say your grandparents' lives were useless, not at all, as I'm sure they were not. In fact, I suspect a bunch of us are here because of some of the things that our great-grandparents did that had eternal value. A bit more on that in a minute. So if we can't even name our ancestors from just a few generations ago, we don't know what they did for work or for fun, what then has meaning? What work, what is it we do with our time that has meaning? Look at verse 24 and 25 again with me. A person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. Now, looking at the rest of this book, some people view this verse as being kind of sarcastic. Some people see it as being hopeful. I tend to lean towards the hopeful side. We're not going to go there now, though. But what we need to see, though, is actually in the next sentence. This, too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? Our drive to do work, to do whatever it is we do with our time, is not about us. It's not about our kids. It's not about our grades, our pay, our gardens or our grandkids. It is about God. All of it comes from him, from his hand. For without him, who can find enjoyment? The answer? No one. What is it that gets you out of bed every day? wherever it is what you go once you're awake, what is it that gets you motivated? To help us think through this a little bit more, I'd like to introduce you to some imaginary friends. Here is Jeff. Everyone say hello, Jeff. That's good. He's very shy on the stage. Here is Jeff. Jeff works long hours at his job. He chases promotions and bigger paychecks. He buys the latest gadgets, takes fancy holidays, and tells himself he's living the dream. But when he stops to think about it, which he rarely does because it's difficult, sobering, and confronting, so he doesn't make the time to do it, but when he does think about it, he feels restless and wonders why all his effort still leaves him feeling empty. And he can't help but question, why do I do this? I'm never satisfied. And over here, we have George. Everyone say, hi, George.
Hi.
Good job. Good job, David. Here's George. And George, on the other hand, has the same job, right? Same factory, same whatever. And he works just as hard. But George starts each day by asking, how can I serve and glorify God, not me, God, in my work today? He does his best to treat his workmates with kindness. He works with integrity. And he uses his income to bless others. For George, his job isn't about building his own little kingdom. It's about glorifying God. George feels satisfied each day because he knows his work is not in vain. He knows his work is not about making him rich or even making his boss rich. He knows his identity is not in what he does. He knows his work comes from the hand of God. And because of this, he is thankful and generous with the fruit of his toil. Are we, like George, busy with the great work of Jesus? Or are we, like Jeff, concerned only for the great work of ourselves? It's probably obvious. We should do our best to be like George. Which leads us then to this year. I don't know who you worked for last year, and I don't mean what company, organization, or brand, but did you work for you or for God? Now, I know it can be difficult to figure out how to write company policies or service a bus or feed kids or collect eggs for God. To actually and practically do this is not all that straightforward. But I think much of what we do doesn't change. Policies still need to be written. Buses still need fixing. Kids still need parenting, and eggs still need collecting. So if what we do doesn't necessarily change when we work for God instead of ourselves, what does? I think it comes down to our attitude. Our motivation for doing work is not for personal gain, because we know that any other motivation is meaningless. Instead, we choose to realize our work and what we gain from it, financially or otherwise, is a gift from the hand of God himself. And with it, we can bless him. We can bless others. And we can be blessed ourselves. Now, this passage is likely familiar to some. It's Colossians 3, verse 23 to 24. It says this: whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. This passage is not committing us to quit our day jobs and work for God at a church or in some mission field somewhere around the world. Not at all. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Not because you want to please your boss or your parents or your teachers, even to please yourself, but to please God. It is an attitude shift that we all need to make. And not just once either, but regularly. So ask the question that I asked right at the beginning. What is work going to look like for you in 2025? Who are you going to work for? God or yourself? Remember what matters in the future, in the legacy you leave. It will not be your name. It will not be your work and how much you made. It will not be what you did for fun. Life and work like this, it's meaningless, remember? What will be remembered on and passed on in your legacy is what a difference you made for eternity. It will be how you show Jesus to the world around you. Your kids will see it. Your family will see it. Your mates will see it. It will be how you strive to glorify God Glorify God in the work that in your work by doing your best. It will be how you generously give the fruits of your labor, how you shared and gave them away to those in need to glorify God. Life and work like this is not meaningless. So parents, shift the focus from giving your kids every opportunity to modeling dependence on God in daily life. That is the legacy that will stick. And students, study not to impress others, but glorify God through your effort and your learning. Workers, view your job as a platform to reflect Christ, especially to the many, many out there who do not know him. Reflect him through excellence, integrity, and care for others. And retirees, use this season to serve in ways you couldn't before. Time constraints around work make things difficult, but that's gone, right? So instead, think about mentoring someone, coming alongside someone who's younger than you. I'm sure if you think about it, when you were maybe, whatever, 20, you'd love to know what, you know, someone who's lived that life before, you'd love to hear that advice. You have something to give in this space. Mentoring, volunteer, simply just invest in relationships for God's glory, not your own. So choose daily to work for God. God, not yourself. Recognize the work you get to do as a gift from him. By doing this, your work cannot be meaningless. Make the decision to work for the best boss to ever walk the face of the earth in 2025. His name is Jesus. And his work was hanging on the cross for you and I. It's the most selfless, sacrificial gift we could ever get. Choose to work for him. He's the best boss. Let's pray. God, as we stare down the barrel of a brand new year, this year will be full of work, wherever we are, whatever we do. There is work to be done. Lord, help us to decide regularly and often who it is we work for. God, we don't want to work simply for our own financial gain or even just to provide for our family or maybe because our identity is wrapped up in it. We want to work because in our work we can show everyone who you are. May all we do show everyone our dependence on you. May all we do bring you glory. May all we do reflect your goodness to us. May all we do be opportunities to serve and build your kingdom, not our own. Now this will look different for each of us. Help us to figure out what it looks like in our lives. Holy Spirit, help us each and every day to choose the right boss in our lives. God, it's you. Thanks for hearing us, God. Help us hear you too. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks, music team.